New Haven at thegreatgive.org.
So what are they typing in? We almost messed up all their contributions for the last $1 million.
The Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven.
So correct. They're probably okay just pressing Jewish Federation and you'll get it. Okay. Yeah. We took care of that business. Right. Okay, Judy Alperin, you're in here. You've been in here before in High Haven talking about the big fire. That you've been here a year and a half in your job?
A little bit less, but yeah.
Taking over the Jewish Federation. In that time, we had a massive fire at the Jewish JCC and Jewish Federation building in Woodbridge. And now you've been convening this extraordinary series of discussions and working groups to say, where do we want to be now as a Jewish community? Since we built that home decades ago, the Jewish community is somewhat moved. Right, from the western suburbs to some extent to the eastern suburbs. And in this period that you've been steering the ship with no central facility, you've managed to have all the activities we're doing continue, whether it's swimming, whether it's other kinds of athletics, whether it's meeting rooms. And you're doing it a lot of other locations spread out in the district. And you put a lot of energy into doing public events, whether it's on the shoreline at synagogues or in New Haven, in Woodbridge. And so now, how's that going and where are we going?
So that's a great question to ask us. How is it going? It's going as well as it can, given the circumstances. You know, we are spread out all over. But that's not necessarily a hindrance, because that's the reality of our Jewish community today. Once upon a time, we were all cloistered around the area of Legion Avenue, and we had a Jewish community center on Chapel Street, which ultimately moved up to Woodbridge. Today, we've got about 23,000 Jews in our community, and they stretch all the way up to Chester, down to Milford, out to Wallingford and Cheshire, and certainly around the Woodbridge, New Haven, Orange, Bethany area.
I hadn't known about this thing about Jews moving to Clinton, eastern suburbs. Those are WASPy. When did all the Jews move out there?
The shoreline is a beautiful place to live.
It is, but it's not very Jewish.
And there's a gorgeous synagogue in Chester that was designed by Saul LeWitt, very active synagogue up there.
Yep. So, you know, it's interesting what role that communal institutions, and today we're talking about the importance of giving money to the Jewish Federation, the role that institutions play in a community. So you're at least the second generation in your family devoting your career to Jewish communal institutions. And what role do you play? Why is it important to have a Jewish Federation?
So the Jewish Federation has a unique role in the community. We are responsible for our community locally here in Greater New Haven, but also throughout the globe and in Israel. And so generally, normal course of business, we go about our days raising dollars, very important dollars that support all the initiatives in our community of our agencies, programs, programming in the synagogues. And we're really the safety net of the Jewish people. But we do that globally and in Israel as well. Today, the role that we play as convener and community planner has really grown to the forefront of our list, because that's what we spend a lot of our time doing now.
And that means trying to figure out, do we rebuild the JCC the way it was as Jewish Federation office? Do we rebuild it and bring another agency in as a partner to help make the rent for the facility, I mean the mortgage? Do we not rebuild the JCC because it's kind of a far place for people in New Haven or east of New Haven to go to for events and have another central location or a series of locations? Is that an accurate way to describe the choices facing the community now?
Yeah, I think that is fair. We do have an amazing asset in Woodbridge, and I think what we've learned, because we've done a series of focus groups followed by a community survey that was online, and then just last week a big town hall meeting, you know, we've learned that that asset is treasured and cherished. So the question is, you know, is that something that our community can continue to afford? And exactly what happens within the walls of that building, and how do we make sure that we're programming in a very dynamic, creative, and enticing way, but that's also sustainable.
Well, Judy, it sounds to me like there has been sort of a consensus reached that we're going to rebuild there.
Not yet. So what we've done is, so we had these focus groups, and we've been having these series of meetings for input, and we've convened two task forces charged with looking into options. So while we've done everything that we can, assuming that we're going to return to the building, we're also looking at every other possible option as well, because we feel it's our fiduciary responsibility to do the due diligence. And so there's these two task forces.
I was impressed that you got 300 people in person on a weeknight to come out to talk about that at Bethel Kusser Israel last week. And what I loved is you were also doing Facebook Live, and that you had, was it several hundred people following?
Yeah, well, we had over 300 in the room and another 65 to 100 that came in and out of Facebook
so
Live.
So people were at home on their computers or on their phones watching the meeting. Isn't that kind
of
neat?
People were out of state and out of the country watching the meeting, which was really neat.
A metaphor about how the community you're serving is kind of a lot of different places now, too, and you got to reach them in new ways.
Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned it to you, Paul, but I'm learning so much stuff from being here in this 29th hour.
And it's a zone.
And I'm learning about different organizations and learning new facts about organizations that I already know something about. And Judy, one fact that I just learned is that there are only 23,000 Jews in this greater New Haven area. And I didn't know that number. I don't think I would have come close to guessing it, but it sounds like a tiny number on some level for such a large facility. Is that a wrong perception? And how does that compare with other localities?
Or what it used to be in New Haven?
Well, so my first response to that is that what's even more challenging of that 23,000 number, and that we know that number from the last community study that we did in 2010, is that it's not concentrated in one geographic area. So it's not like we have 23,000 that are just around Woodbridge. Those 23,000 are spread out. And their interests are different, and the needs that they have are different, and how we service them is different. And that's really what we have to tackle. And in terms of how we compare to other communities, we're different from most communities in that most Jewish communities are more centralized. So, like, if you just go to Hartford and you look at the Jewish community there.
You go to West Hartford.
That's right. You go to West Hartford. And that's most folks are just in and around that area.
And are there 23,000 Jews in the greater Hartford area? Or more or less?
There are more.
And
there are
West Hartford's sort of like Vilnius at this point of that area, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so New Haven is really, it really is, but there's in the immediate New Haven area, there's a very viable synagogue life, all kinds of different synagogues.
Oh, we have a great Jewish community. It's a great place to be Jewish. My kids grew up Jewish here. I mean, we love the different Jewish institutions, the activities that go on here. It is a great Jewish community.
So the Federation, really, it is a really interesting institutional moment. You see all this creativity and this viability, but how does it work with the 23,000 and such facilities?
Well, that's exactly the challenge that we're confronted with. And so we're seeking maximum input. We want to know what people care about, what they want, how they want to connect, how we can better deliver those services. And
So as somebody who used to work in the consulting business, so this is maybe a terrible question, but do you all have two or three ideas already of what the answer is? And you're soliciting information to maybe refine the answer and also to, you know, make the individuals who are responding feel part of the process? Or are you genuinely groping for the right configurations?
So I'll be very, very blunt and honest with you. My mantra during this whole period since December 5th has been to explore every option and opportunity that's available to us. I will meet with anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I literally
You have.
I absolutely have.
You've got a quick education.
And I will...
And you are totally open.
I am totally open. And, you know, it's no secret, actually, that, you know, we've had conversations with the town of Woodbridge, where we're currently residing. We've had conversations with the city of New Haven, where we once resided. You know, we will talk with everybody and then ultimately arrive at what is the best decision to move our community forward.
What do you find out in Woodbridge? Is it possible to sell that land? Would anyone ever want to buy it? Somebody maybe want to develop elderly housing there or something?
You know, that's interesting. That's been put forward. You know, I guess you know when there's a buyer.
Judy Alpin, you have had a quick education here, and in your year and a quarter, I think maybe one of the advantages, you might have come at the right historical moment, because Judy actually doesn't have any baggage. So you're not tied to what's the decisions and the arguments we had in the 90s about whether to move out of New Haven, whether to go to Woodbridge. But you really can be an honest broker here and listen to people and find out what the consensus of the community is.
I'd like to believe that's exactly what
it is. And is that because, where did you come from to be here?
Where did I come from? I spent the 24 years prior to moving here in Allentown, Pennsylvania, an amazing, wonderful, fantastic place.
Doing similar work?
I was the assistant executive director of the Jewish Federation.
In Allentown.
Yes.
And her father was in Jewish communal work.
And how many Jewish people are there in Allentown?
8,000. 6,000 of them in one zip code.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
Very different.
That's yeah.
So
now, Judy, there was, before the fire, you were still doing a lot of work here. And one thing you've done, I've been very impressed with the Jewish Federation, is you've created a New Haven Jewish newspaper called Shalom New Haven. You brought some issues, and I love that paper. It is really good.
Thank you.
And you know, because we've talked, you know, the ethnic press, although we're in a building with Lavoz Hispana, which is a thriving example of the ethnic press, in general in America, it's on the ropes. And you've created something new. Why did you create a bi-monthly newspaper?
Right now we're publishing 6 issues a year and looking for advertisers who will recognize that 10,000 households are a great target market.
So you got almost about 30-40% of the whole market.
Yeah, we do, and we're looking to grow our list, but we do have a pretty decent share of the market, and it's a great way to get out your messaging to our community. So we're absolutely seeking advertisers. Just like we're seeking donors, we're seeking advertisers.
So why did you decide?
That's exactly right. So we need to support it because it's such an excellent way to communicate messaging. Even though everything is electronic today and folks like emails and all the rest of that, there's still something to holding paper in your hand that still has value. And especially with our demographic, which skews older, much like the rest of the Jewish community.
So is the Jewish community in New Haven aging?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And that's true of the whole Northeast. And
Jews don't have as many babies or what? Or they move out?
The younger ones are much more mobile. They don't stay places for very long. And the folks that remain in the community are the ones that, you know, have either made a commitment to stay or have the means to go somewhere warmer.
That's interesting because, you know, I go to a synagogue in Westville, Becky, where it almost went out of business a few years before we joined in the early 90s because none of the children of the people who ran it stayed in New Haven. And then all these people, well, we were in our 30s back then, or I guess, and yeah, I'm now in my late 50s. And this whole flux of new families came in, younger families who were the ages of the elder people in the congregation whose kids had left. And our parents aren't from here. So we had come for whatever reasons and settled here. And it was beautiful. We felt like they were our parents. And they were so happy that their kids, quote unquote, were keeping the shul alive and it's had a rejuvenation. Yeah. And I'm wondering, that's part of what's going to happen with Jewish communities. It's not being handed down generation to generation in the same family because of what a mobile culture we have. But it's where Jews happen to be. Like, I'm thinking Detroit. I know that there's a whole kind of young people have been come to Detroit, whereas people that age who grew up there fled, right? And there's a whole Jewish community starting there, right, downtown.
Well, Detroit, like us, right, saw an opportunity coming out of a crisis, and that was the economic downturn that really hit them hard. And they were you know, they had empty buildings in downtown, and they had the foresight to create incubators that would drive young investment, basically.
And then bank on Quicken loans. If it turns out they're shady, then that whole thing goes out the window.
But it paid off for them, and so they reimagined their community. And for us, you know, we also believe, you know, we always say, you know, lemonade out of lemons. Like, we're not going to let this opportunity go by without, you know, really looking for the golden threads.
Can I bring you back to Shalom New Haven for a second?
Sure.
So you came to the city. You were taking over Jewish Federation at a moment of a crossroads in that community. Why did you think start a newspaper? That's not a typical thing that a person comes in to do at a Jewish Federation.
So we had Shalom New Haven, but we had it in a different form and less frequently. What I feel pretty good about is that we've improved the product and expanded it and really made it a community paper.
What it was before, wasn't it a pull-out section?
For a while, it was inside the Jewish Ledger, and yeah.
But you said this is important.
I said it's important.
And why did you think that?
Because what we do is so dynamic and so amazing, but if you don't communicate that to the community, how do they know? And we needed that voice. It's really the voice of the Jewish community.
And the voice of the Jewish community through Judy Alperin, the head of the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven. The reason you got to say it in the right order, unlike what I did at the beginning of the show, is because right now is the time to go to thegreatgive.org. And remembering that it starts with thegreatgive.org. And go to the top right-hand corner and type in Jewish Federation. You'll be there because this is the time, everybody, to pony up to help keep our Jewish community strong through our voice. You know, another role you play, Judy, when you come here and you're around the Jewish Federation is you're the public face of the Jewish community. When there are attacks on Jews or threats, you know, we had those anti-Semitic calls that ended up being done by a Jewish person in Israel, which was bizarre, and you had the threats, and you were speaking for the Jewish community when the U.S. attorney had a recent event training people on hate crimes. You were speaking for the Jewish community, and I'm always proud to have you speaking for the community I'm a part of. Tell me about that part of being the director of the Jewish Federation. What do you feel the responsibility is, and how do you carry that out?
Well, I think certainly to be present and actively engaged and involved. You know, one of the things that I loved about the, unfortunately, we're doing a lot of security preparedness training. And actually, it was that kind of training that enabled us to bring everybody to safety when the fire happened.
We talked about that when you listened on the radio. That was a phenomenal event. You had just, before the big fire last December, you had done a fire drill so that people can get old people from the pool out, kids from the child programs. You got everybody out safely.
We did. That 350 people
fast.
Out safely. Exactly
that
right.
That was a great thing.
So that preparedness and the fact that we were the victim of two of these terroristic threats and that the rise of anti-Semitism in this type of attack is just the reality today. So because of that, we planned this active shooter training with the FBI last Monday, and with their help, we were able to have a press conference afterwards with leadership from the NAACP and the Sikh community and, you know, many different faith groups. And for me, and you asked me, you know, about being the face or whatever my role, that was, for me, even though the training was so important, and again, it's in the headlines with active shooter things that have happened just today.
Where did it happen today?
In Texas, one of the universities, not University of Texas again, but now this is in northern Texas. But I got to shake hands and introduce myself and talk with these other leaders. And those are the relationships that I want to build. I want to build strong relationships with all the different faith groups and not just faith groups, but all the different groups in general in our community so that we can know one another, so that we know each other well enough before crisis happens, so that, God forbid, should crisis happen, we're there for one another. The one thing that I think really kept me going through all of the tragedy that we've had has been the warmth and outreach. This is a very special community. We heard from everybody near and far. Everybody wanted to roll up their sleeves and help. Some helped without being asked. Some just, you know, opened their doors to us. And then beyond that, I just want to share because it's really neat. We're continuing to get postcards from all over the country, from different groups, kids, adults, seniors, what have you, telling us that we're loved and we're appreciated and we're valued. And I think that power of love is really strong, and it's going to keep us getting through these tough times.
And power of love is also the engine of the great give. 470 not-for-profits in Greater New Haven are raising money through 8 o'clock tonight through the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven's portal. So this is the time to go to thegreatgive.org and type in Jewish Federation. You know, one tricky part about being the face of a community is, like any other community in the globe, Jewish community bickers. They have different points of view or honest debate. So, like, I think it's pretty safe to say if you're going to speak for the Jewish community, you're going to be a very strong supporter of the existence of Israel. But within the Jewish community, you have very divided opinions about what Israel should do and how much we should or shouldn't get involved in debates involving the government there. You have very different, very strong debates about the role of women in religion. Although I would guess if you take a poll, it wouldn't be a strong debate, probably be 90% to 10. But people are active in the Jewish community. It's a strong debate. How do you navigate having your own personal values and making sure that you are speaking for a unified community?
Well, I'm a pretty lucky person because my personal values align just perfectly with the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven, in that I believe in pluralism. The Jewish Federation believes in pluralism. I believe that peace will come in the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelis when the two states sit together and have direct negotiations, and we can ultimately have two states for two peoples. I believe that, and so does the Jewish Federation. And so I'm pretty lucky.
But like any leader, you will always be representing some people, even if it's a small minority that doesn't agree with the consensus. So do you have to make extra efforts to show that you're listening to them, that you want them still to be part of what you're doing?
Look, I think the debate on Israel is something that's very current for all of us, right? Whether we're members of the Jewish community or not, it's an important topic. And we feel that we should be able to talk about Israel by talking to one another, not by being in our polarized camps and talking to ourselves.
And of course, you did a mitzvah in that score. You recently had an event at Temple Beth Tikva in Madison where you had Jonathan Tobin, who used to be here in Connecticut, a great guy who has a conservative point of view. He used to edit the Connecticut Jewish Ledger now. Where is he now? Commentary?
Yeah.
And then you had J.J. Goldberg from The Forward, who has a liberal view. And how'd that go? Wasn't it sold out or something?
We had a capacity crowd at Temple Beth Tikva. They were great hosts. And what was wonderful was that it was respect and dignity. It was friendship. It was kindness. There was a divergence of opinion. But everyone
but
in the room.
Isn't it great we could talk about it?
Well, we should be able to do that on all the topics, right? That would be the healthy way to approach it. And so we want to model that behavior and bring those opportunities to our community.
Well, Judy Alperin, you have a tall order to fill as the executive director of Jewish Federation New Haven. You're doing a great job of it. And let's help you do it by today on The Great Give, sending some money your way. Thanks so much for coming in. It was great to touch base with you, as always.
You do not want me to sing a song?
Oh, I forgot. Oh, my goodness, Judy.
And I forgot to remind you. I fell down in my reminder role.
You know, it's a short-term memory thing. Okay, Judy.
You know, not that I want to sing. I don't want to hurt anybody's ears. But the community I was singing, I'm doing this in honor of the JCC Day Camp, which is amazing. It's going to happen at the campsite at 360 Amity Road at our community building this summer. And it's going to be bigger and better than ever with some counselors for 1 week for Israel Week with, you know, Israeli counselors. And so in honor of that, with hand motions, I'm going to sing David Melech Yisrael, Chai Chai Vikayam, David Melech Yisrael, Chai Chai Vikayam, David Melech Yisrael, Chai Chai Vikayam, and thank you, Toda Rabba.
That was awesome. You sing very well. All right. Well, thank you, Judy Alperin. What a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And so, folks, we'll be back in just a couple minutes with another great guest from the Booker T. Academy in New Haven. You're listening to WNHH Radio's Great Give Radiothon Videothon at 103.5 FM live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. And this is the Afro-Semitic Experience, our house band doing Waters of Babylon from This is the Afro-Semitic Experience. Check back with us in five, folks. And thanks for tuning in.